Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
I want to share today something very much on my heart, and we were worshiping, and I look at the song titles. I trust Pastor Josh and Rihanna just to, they pray and work the songs every week, and I find out later in the week what they are. Before I have the message, they have the songs, but it's fun to me how things connect, especially talking about going through the fire. Because I want to share something today about God's promotion. I know that several times this year I've talked about God wanting to move in the lives of our church families to make things better on the family. Not just better on the family, but to make things work in a way that you have time to serve the Lord, time to love one another and be together as a family, the ability to build a security for the future. All of the things that we dream of, but we put something in there that the world doesn't, and we want to honor the Lord first and be able to live an empowered life to build the kingdom of God. When you throw the kingdom of God in the mix of promotion, there's going to be fire in your life somewhere. Fire doesn't always destroy things. It destroys what God intends it to destroy because the fire is something he has power over. Understand, when the Holy Spirit came in Acts 2, he came with and was signified by a rushing mighty wind and flames of fire. You put wind and fire together, something's going to burn. The wind is going to take it to the fuel. And what we have to trust is in the fire, the good and God's plan will never be destroyed. The things that would hinder God's blessing in our life, that's what will burn. And I want you to learn to think of God that way. He's a God of mercy, but in the mercy, sometimes things that are going to hold us back are eliminated so that we come out free. Now, we're going to obviously beginning in Daniel chapter 3 today because we're at a point in our culture that I recognize in the scripture. And I like to tie scripture into our life right now. That's really what teaching, good teaching in church should be about, is how do I apply this in my life? We are heavenly people in an earthly realm. We are identifying with heaven more and more, identifying with Jesus more and more as we learn of him. But we're in an earth that is fallen. That alone creates a conflict. As I think of kids going back to school, I think of the conflict of sending our little children into an arena where there's not as many Christians as there used to be. The Christians who are there are being told to be quiet. They're being taught that diversity in any way is a great thing. Just let everything be that is going to be. And all kinds of lines that the scripture draws are being eliminated. Yet when kids come home, you're going to have boundaries for them. You're going to, if you are paying attention to the scripture, you're going to draw boundaries according to what scripture says our values should be. Because we're raising children to be a part of the kingdom of God and to do well at the same time in this world. What a combination. So it sets families up to have to deal with extra stuff. So as I pray for our families, employment is important, that it's right, that we have the ability, we have the strength and energy to parent God's way, to do family God's way, to honor the Lord in a way that we know we're walking in security with him, in a relationship with him that is real. So when there does seem to be fire come out of the culture in your direction, it'll not take you out or your family out. Because you will eventually, at some point, encounter the fires of this world coming against the kingdom of God manifesting in your life. It's a conflict, if you love Jesus, that you cannot avoid forever. Now, I know that some people pray, well, I'm going to pray God just delivers me from all the fire, and I'm going to take the exit door before I enter into the fire. Seldom, if ever, does promotion come by taking an exit from something that is thrown at you from this world. That's kind of a passivity that many Christians choose to live, that is a denial of faith. When in reality, we need to recognize this world will throw something at you meant to consume you, but it can't consume you because you belong to the Master. So many times, and I would say almost all the time, promotion for a Christian in this world will take you through the ring of fire. It will take you through a place of fire. You will have to go into a situation honoring the Lord and trusting Him that you will come out the other side untouched. I want you to be ready for that because our national culture is on the brink of a time like that. You will experience as a Christian increasing opportunities to take your faith and make the exit door, or what we would say, go backstage with it, to be quiet with it, or to go ahead and speak your faith in Jesus and take on some persecution. But I want to tell you something about God. When you are persecuted for Jesus' sake, He comes to your aid, He comes to your rescue, and He doesn't just take you through something, He promotes you as you come out the other side. And if you're willing to listen to me for a few minutes, I'm going to show you this in the Word. I'm going to tie in a few personal things of back when I was just working in the work world and I wasn't actively being a pastor. I would say I didn't have a church. I wouldn't say I wasn't pastoring. I was pastoring 2,000 people probably, but I was not running a church. Now, God's promotion often will come out of a bad situation. Stop looking at a bad situation as just the enemy coming against you and look for what God has in it. How can a bad situation be turned into the glory of God instead of trying to be delivered from the bad situation? Be delivered through it. Be willing to embrace whatever the responsibility is that needs to be taken at the moment, and walk through it with the grace of God. Now, this is Daniel 3, chapter 6, and or chapter 3, verse 6. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. Whoever does not bow down and worship the image that they made will meet the heat. This is King Nebuchadnezzar and the three Hebrew children, and they were in a cultural dilemma, much like we are in today. They had the opportunity to make an exit from the situation and just tell the king, "We'll bow down this once, so everything will be okay." Because the king had made an edict under pressure, everybody's going to bow or they're going to go into the fiery furnace. And if you went to Sunday school, you know the story. If you didn't go to Sunday school, come to Sunday school, you'll learn the story. I'm concerned about kids growing up without Sunday school. They're not going to know the basics. Just throwing that out there. So if you went to Sunday school, you know the story. But there's so much in that story for today because culturally things were similar. They are today. Israel was the Old Testament church. We are the New Testament church. Israel had gotten lazy spiritually. They had backed off their faith. They had allowed a lot of compromise in, and compromise led to confusion. And there was a generation that came into confusion with only a few leaders left among them. And those leaders, Scripture says Daniel had an excellent spirit about him. He had the Holy Spirit living in him, in his life. He had an excellence about him, as did his friends. So they were chosen, though they had been exiled. What happened is, for a while, Babylon came into Israel just to try to create confusion. Then Babylon came in and took over. Then Babylon took all the young people that were worth having, the way they looked at it, that had any excellence about them, and marched them off into captivity. Took them away, re-educated them to the Babylonian system, changed their names to line up with Babylonian gods, changed their diet to eat and drink what the people there would eat and drink, and in every way tried to make them assimilate to the Babylonian system. And by the way, Babylon means confusion. So whenever you see something happening in your family that takes you away from God, understand it's the same spirit that tries to carry people away from God. Because all of Israel got carried away into confusion. So this story of Daniel and his friends being used of God was God wanting to deliver his people into the blessing, but there was going to be some fire between them and what God had. Now, I don't believe it's God's desire ever for people to have to go through something ugly. But sometimes, just because of where we live and when we live, we can anticipate some things that are going to be before us. So many Christians today will say, well, I'm never going to have a situation like that. I've had many situations like that. If you are going to live for Jesus, and you are going to make a living in the world, and you are going to prosper in both, you are going to have situations like that, where you're going to feel like you're the odd person out and you're going to wonder what to do. So I'm going to help you see the indicators of what to do. Now, Babylon came in and carried them away, Scripture says, because sin became rampant. What used to be wrong was now right. Sounds kind of familiar to me. Now, so now they're in Babylon and they're in a non-Christian environment. They have their own knowing of what is right, but they are being hard-pressed in a direction away from the things of God. Now, today I look at Christianity and I think there's this huge scale of people that live really near what God's word says and people that live as far away as they possibly could and still call themselves Christians, and I don't know how they can call themselves that. But we have this huge range of people. Now, it's not for me to judge who's in or who's out. It is for me to look at the scripture and judge me according to the scripture. Say, I want to make sure I'm in a good place. I want to make sure that I'm in a right place. I want to make sure that when I face these challenges, I'll be the kind that won't back down. I almost named this sermon, Be the Kind That Won't Back Down, because that is in your future. That will be before your kids. That will be before your family. And you have to make a determination ahead of time not to compromise, because when confusion hits, if you haven't made the decision, confusion will move you. And confusion came in and carried away Israel. Now, I have compassion. I think a lot about our people working out in, yeah, everybody working out in secular jobs. That's where a lot of employment is. God has a plan, not just to provide for your family through that employment, but he has a plan to also establish his kingdom through you by your witness. The world would like to say your witness will disqualify you from promotion, but in the plan of God, your witness qualifies you for God's help in the promotion. And you have to choose which side of things you want to believe. Am I going to do everything? Now, I'm not saying rebel against your employer, but don't lose your faith over your future at the job. Don't let confusion of the business culture or local culture take you away from God. What are the basics in that? Well, you should be able to pray on your lunch break. You should be able to say the name of Jesus if you are so inclined. You should be able to share Jesus at least away from the workplace with your peers because you're not in the workplace. You should not be told what you can and can't do with the Word and studying the Word and having a Bible in your office. I mean, there's things you're going to have to make a decision where you will stand, and if it comes down to not being able to say the name of Jesus, will you change jobs? See, most people would have a hard time doing that. Well, that tells us who our God is. See, Babylon had other gods, and they were tied to money and astrology and sexuality and other things. Their foods, all kind. They had this real intertwined culture of how they wanted to live that set them apart from everybody else. But what it did is it moved godliness away from the people of God. It took God out of the relationship with people after a time. Now, you're going to come into a situation in life that you're in a dilemma. The dilemma is going to present a conflict. The conflict is going to move over into a choice. But before you get to the choice, you're probably going to come under some kind of a threat. Sometimes the threat doesn't come through the mouth of a person. Sometimes the threat comes by the enemy just whispering in your ear. If you don't back down, you're probably going to lose your job. Well, you've got to be ready for the enemy to confront you And you have to be ready to confront him back and put him in his place. The scripture says we're to resist the devil and he'll flee. So I want you to, rather than be surprised by things to come, to prepare yourself for things to come. Have conversations at home where you encourage one another to not back down on your faith. That doesn't make you a radical, it makes you a witness. I'm not trying to stir up radicalism. I don't even like the thought of that, or the sense of a rebellion or a revolt or any of those things. I'm saying that we have to hang on to our witness or it will be taken out from under our feet. I shared something at the table, pre-service table this morning. We were talking about service and we pray over the service, and we're talking about the new Sunday school series to win people and how to win people, how to witness, really. It's what it's about. And I said something, if we don't train our kids and if we don't learn, even as adults, but if we don't train our kids to win the lost will win our kids. And I want that to be a takeaway for you today, because it just rose up out of my spirit just as clearly that I need to be that candid with you, that's what's at stake. And, you know, when you're as old as I am, you can look back over a pretty good swath of time and say, wow, how much things have changed. And then I look at what's causing the change. Change can't lock in until people accept it as the new norm. So what has happened in the body of Christ is so much change has come in that we've accepted too much as a norm. And God's given us the power in the person of the Holy Spirit to stand strong for him. But you will find in the workplace and even in the school arena, I am for our educators. I am not against public schools. I am against families not preparing their kids to go into the arena of public school. Even back in the 70s, I had a few very liberal non-Christian teachers. I remember being the only one bold enough in my grade to challenge the non-Christian element in the non-Christian teachers with what the scripture said. You might prepare your kids to have an intelligent argument instead of seeming to appear uncooperative, because there's a difference. The uncooperative student will get belligerent knowing that they think they know something that the teacher doesn't know, and they want to make their point or defend Jesus, but they don't know how. They don't know how to do that intelligently and kindly and appropriately and still respect the person who's in authority over them. They need to learn that. They'll learn that with intelligent, metered conversation at home with mom and dad and older siblings. And how do we conduct a respectable conversation, trying to win someone to at least become open-minded to the gospel? That never has ugly in it. It has love in it. And it's a challenge. I won't say names of teachers or anything else. I've learned you just don't do that. Why it goes out everywhere. But I remember some of my discussions with certain teachers. And what I discovered right away is there was as many teachers as strong in their beliefs as I was, as were against. And it was fun to find out who else had the witness of God living in them among the staff. So it's not all bad. But if you're going to be marked, you might as well be marked as God's winner instead of a compromiser. You might as well be marked. And that doesn't just happen because we say in our heart we love Jesus. We have to understand the love of Jesus in our heart compels us to be intelligent communicators and to know how to answer every man, is what the scripture says. To have a word to say in whatever season we're in that is an intelligent representation of the kingdom of God. I remember one teacher upon graduating saying to me, I can see I will never win the God argument with you. Can we call it a truce? I said, it's a truce until we're dead. Then we're going to find out, aren't we? And he looked at me and he said, you're right. We'll find out then. He said, I'm content to wait until then. Now, I wasn't the only student that would bear witness to this teacher. There was any of you that knew the late Pastor B.G. Nevitt. He was 3 years ahead of me in high school. He had the same witness, as did Brenda, his wife, as did others. There was a whole bunch of us over time. Why, some people just take a lot of witnessing. But if you witness without the love component, it's not going to go far because God's in the love component. I wanted to throw that out there. In the business arena, I want to go back there, and this is particularly for those of you working out in the world system. For quite a season, for a 15-year run, I worked in corporate America in the resort business, and I don't want to go into great detail, but my first management assignment was to go to a North Carolina resort to move a couple hours away from where we had been trained to move up into the mountains. And when I got there, we were the contractors to the parent company. And the people working for the parent company didn't want us there for a lot of reasons. Then they found out this is a Christian. They didn't like that a whole lot either. They found out that I would stand for what's right and I would enforce some rules and I was going to do my job. I was not going to be a pushover. And that's just what you do for your job. That's what you do for your boss. That was nothing special. But we were responsible for, at the time this happened, about 750 condos to turn them over. And you had a 6-hour window to clean everything and new people would come. And several hundred a day on the average. We had a sales force there. There were several hundred people on staff at that resort. And I found out that they had they called it a game. They called it the BB game. And I was invited to come as a contractor to their executive staff meetings and sit in and be a part because we were integrating our work. And they wanted me to be treated just like I was one of them, which was a privilege and had never happened to our company before. So I went in and I kept seeing people carrying keys to my condos. And I took possession of the condos because I was responsible for those condos, how they looked and how they were maintained and how they were cleaned. And I kept seeing people with keys and I'm thinking, what are these people doing with my keys? And they called it the BB game and they threw them into a brandy snifter. And what it was each person that wanted to be a part, guys and girls would throw a key in and then whoever matched keys, they went off to the condo together and had a little tryst. Well, I had been finding condos used all over the property, and we were contractors. The contractor was responsible to present the property as perfect for the incoming guest every time, and it was every guest experience was rated, so there was a lot of pressure. So we would run around every day and check all 750 doors. Any that were vacant, we'd go in every condo and check it out because somebody was using the master bedroom consistently. And not just somebody, but there'd be 8 to 10 to 15 a day, depending on the day, and party supplies left behind and things a mess, and we had to clean it up. And the front desk would look and say, well, nobody occupied that condo. You can't charge us. I said, then I'm leaving it dirty, and your guest is going to complain, and it will be on you. And we had this little tussle. I remember the conflict that came. I very quickly learned who was doing this because they all said, you need to do things our way. We're trying to make you one of us. That's why you're in that meeting. We all admire what you're doing at the property, but you need to play the game our way. And whenever something's messed up, you just clean it up. We'd rather pay you under the table for cleaning it up than changing our ways. You're going to have a conflict. You're going to have to decide where to take a stand. You're going to have to decide how to take action. Now, over time, they all became my friend, but there was a fire to walk through. I remember the general manager calling me in. He said, you are presenting great conflict with many of my leaders. What is this about anyway? I said, you'll need to ask your employees rather than me. But I'm dealing with the conflict they're causing. God has a path to deal with the conflict, but you will put up with fire. So for a while, I not only got the cold shoulder, I was told that our company wasn't wanted. We had some sabotage going on. We had some lies being spread, and I had to work doubly hard and be there very early in the morning, and I would try to stay until every suspicious vehicle out around my condos left. And then I would get there at 3:00, provide breakfast for my staff coming in at 4, 5, and 6, and we would go out there and check every door. I let the staff know we were undoing a mess. And what happened over time, I want to tell you what happened over time. The general manager came to me, he said, I have learned what you're trying to deal with and I support you. But don't create negative exposure for our company as you do this. Please bring all of your information directly to me. So we did that. We did exactly what we were told. Nobody ended up getting fired. Everybody ended up changing. The resort took all of the national awards that year, the highest rated in the nation, as a result of the hanky-panky got stopped. But somebody had to walk through the fire. In walking through the fire, what I saw is nobody else got a promotion out of that but me, then the general manager right behind me. Now, I want to tell you, God takes you through the fire most of the time. When I pray for you to have promotion, you may not have a situation just like that, but you'll have something confront you that you have to decide what you're going to do with that. And it may be on a one-on-one basis with a person you work with, where you either take a stand or you just keep your mouth shut. Or it might be that you have something bigger that you have to deal with, and you have to be the honest person and look for a way to not destroy people, but try to preserve them as you move forward. Because God doesn't destroy people as he clears the path for your promotion. He tries to preserve everybody. So in preserving everybody, what I saw suddenly is we became the most popular people on the resort and become somewhat of a celebrity nationwide, because people were preserved in it. Now, there's a whole lot of details, a whole lot more. I could write books on things like that. But I'm trying to prove a point this morning that if you're looking for promotion, a lot of people want prayer for favor and prayer for finance. I'm all for praying for all of that. God's path, most of the time, will take you through some kind of fiery trial. So we see Daniel in this same situation. I want to go back to Daniel. He's in a dilemma because the culture not only wanted his work, they wanted his worship. They wanted him to bow down. They wanted him to give homage. They wanted, you know, what happened early on that I left out is I kept being given a room key. I said, oh, did you find this in a room? And they're looking at me like, are you stupid or what? I was stupid. I didn't have any idea why they were giving me a room key. They wanted me to be a part of the brandy snifter thing. I didn't know it. I didn't get it. I didn't figure it out until I did figure it out. I said, I know why they're giving me this key. So I said, I don't want a key. You don't want a key. Everybody up here does this. It's a great time. I said, no, I don't want a key. That was the beginning of drawing the line. Up until then, it was assumed that I got the key and threw it in the snifter. They were all asking, well, who's he been with? You will come against things that will be meant to destroy you. Not just a little bit of fire. The fire didn't touch. Why? Because we step back and say, I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm not. Lucinda and I are married. We had a sacred line. We're not going outside of our marriage for anything. Now, there was a dilemma. The culture wants you to bow down to, and that's what was going on there. We'll win him over, and they didn't. The Chaldeans, in verse 8, rose up against the Jews. There was an uprising. There was a stir. There was not just a dilemma. There was a conflict. Be ready to deal with conflict. Be ready to deal with conflict and don't be afraid of it. Be ready to be empowered by God to deal with the conflict, because if you're hearing the word of God, you're being prepared with God's wisdom. You will be able to face it and say, no, wait a minute. This is a dilemma and this is a conflict, and God's got a promotion in it, but I've got to mind myself carefully here. God's not into destroying people or hurting people, but he is about truth and presenting truth. And if I present the truth, it's like blowing wind on the fire, and something's going to burn, but it isn't going to be me. See? You want to know these things. So in the conflict, will your faith remain steadfast, or will it become passive? It would have been easy to say, that's not for me, guys. You go have your party, but I'm going to charge you money. I'm going to catch every one of you, and our company's going to charge you $58 a condo, I think was the fee right then. I said, you want to pay me $58? What you do is up to you. I could have said that. But instead, I wanted to stop what was wrong through my witness or impact it. Now, that didn't make me a crusader. It made me somebody that chose to stand up for the truth. I can't tell you how many good things came out of that. I don't have time. But Satan can't corrupt your values. If he can't corrupt your values, he tries to diminish your faith. He tries to cause you to compromise in part, to turn a cold shoulder, to look the other way, to not bring conflict out. You want to know the mind of the Lord. You don't want to be known as a troublemaker. You want to be known as a peacemaker. When people ask me, when the front desk manager said, what are you hoping to prove? I said, I'm hoping to prove to you, front desk manager, she's very sharp, that these rooms are being used by some of your people. And here's what I did in the interim. I said, it's in your best interest that everything goes perfectly at check-in, including the guest impression of the room. And if the master bed's messed up, not a good impression. If the jacuzzi's messed up, not a good impression. She agreed. She said, what do you want from me? Her name was Joan. I said, Joan, I want you next Friday to not work the desk at all. I want you to just stay with me. Just walk with me. All day long, walk with me, and you're going to see what I'm talking about. She agreed that day, 31 or 32, I can't remember, it was over 30, 30 condos had been used. She went back to the front desk, called her general manager, who called the president of the company and said there was a problem. And the president of the company said, who uncovered this mess? Who said blah, blah, blah. And of course, they gave my name. They wouldn't give anybody else's name. Well, who else is in on this? The front desk manager got a $10,000 bonus out of the deal. Say why? It was happening company-wide, not just at our little resort. What happened is it was costing the company huge money. Why? We were going to bill every time it happened. Righteousness has right at the beginning of it. And I want you to know that when righteousness has right at the beginning of it, it probably has fire in the middle of it. And then you're going to come out not hurt, but rather promoted. Now, I want you to have a little time to process that. You'll be challenged in this kind of a situation to take your faith underground. Your kids are going to be challenged that way at school. They're going to be challenged to adopt a philosophy that is non-Christian. If you don't establish what is right, they're going to be brainwashed into something that is wrong. Well, it's a world system. There are spirits behind it. Don't blame the people. I'm just telling you, you're in a world of conflict. And conflict will lead to confusion unless we center it back on Jesus. Jesus is not the author of confusion. Scripture says so. Now, verse 13, the accuser found a way to challenge the Christians. They were praying every morning. They just wanted to bow down and face the sun and pray in the morning and give their day to God. And the accusers came against that, came against prayer in the morning. In verse 15 and 16, he said, if you'll not worship, you're going to meet the heat. You're going to be thrown into the furnace. And the Christians stood together. I noticed that they all did the same thing. It doesn't say that they all had the excellent spirit. It says Daniel did. I think that's why the book has his name at the front of it, for one thing. Why? He had the Spirit of God in such a great way on the inside of him that they all did what he did. You want your kid to be that kid. You want your kid to have enough of the Spirit of God, enough of the Word of God to know when it's right to stand and all the other Christian kids stand together. See, Pastor, we don't want a conflict like this. I said, welcome to the conflict. I didn't create it. I'm just telling you it exists, that it's out there. Why, as many people as the Spirit of God lives in, there's some people that the other spirits live in. And they're not of God. Now, he said, if so be, if this is going to happen, if you're going to throw us into the furnace, our God will deliver us. If you're going to penalize me, well, I'll run the laps. I remember our son in high school football told me, now, if I go to Wednesday night youth, instead of going to Wednesday night football practice, I'm going to have to run laps. I said, well, son, how many laps? I mean, we're natural runners. You have to become a runner if you're in the Lee family. You're not, it's not born that way. And he said, 5 miles, Dad. I nodded. I said, well, what do you want to do? He said, well, I don't need 5 more miles to run. But if I do it, and as I do it, God will be with me. I said, so what you going to do? He said, I'm going to do it. He said, I can't back down what I know is right, but I have to take the penalty that the coach says for the coach to respect me. I said, so you want to submit to the coach? Yes, but I don't want to break the law of God. I said, excellent, son. That's the right answer. Be prepared in your work situation, school situation, or even social situations to bear what might seem to be a penalty to preserve the honor of your witness. Be prepared at an early age. Help your kids prepare to make a God-honoring decision that will speak of the character of Christ instead of a compromise. Why, it would have been fine any other night, but Wednesday night we have church. In our house, our son early on adopted that standard. So did our daughter. We didn't enforce it. We encouraged it, and we told them why. What do I believe comes out of that? When you honor God, especially early in life, watch him honor you the rest of your life. You give him your first, he'll bless the rest. I'm very much a believer of that. Now, if you're working, you want to see your job as service unto the Lord and a vehicle that God provides through. But you want to see yourself serving the Lord first. Serving the Lord as whatever it is you're doing right now, but committed to him first, and then doing a great job. I encourage people all the time, be the best worker in your setting that there is. Come early, stay late, be honoring, solve problems. Be the most honest in everything, the most honest person there. But work to preserve people, don't expose people. Let God take care of that kind of business. I encourage people to do the right thing, but understand in that arena, when the conflict comes, you've got to be the standard bearer, not the one going along with. Would you rather be Daniel or the two buddies? See, if we prepare to be a Daniel, the key promotion will come to us. If we just stand with him, we end up going with him, but following him is kind of like, well, Daniel, we're going with you. Why? Daniel had the ability to take them with him. One Daniel can change a whole community, can change a whole workplace, can change the future of an organization. One Daniel moment can change your future. Just one. Now, in verse 18, a spirit came upon the king, and he said, heat the furnace 7 times hotter. Well, that's a threat. And the threat was, if you don't bow down, I'm going to ruin you. When you're confronted with something like that, it's a moment of truth. Now, say, Pastor, I don't want that in my future. I'm going to rebuke this word, and I'm going to pray it never happens. Good luck with that. This wasn't going to be my choice for today, and the Holy Spirit said, you need to tell the people. Why? It coincides with school starting and a whole bunch of things. And again, understand, I love educators. I want kids to be educated, but I want families to take charge over the education and say, we're going to make the way of the Lord. We're going to share the things of God. We're going to establish that our standard is higher than the world's standard. We're going to establish in our house, we're not rebels, but we are strong in our belief system. We're not going to back down from Jesus, who is our Lord. We're not going to lose our faith over a compromise. And if you don't prepare them, you're going to be battling with Babylon in your own house. Confusion will come in. You'll wonder why all of a sudden are they challenging something that you thought they had in their heart. Why? We've got to keep God's word in our heart, or it'll seem to slip away. Now, Nebuchadnezzar the king in verse 24 was astonished. He rose up in haste and he looked in. He said, didn't we only throw 3 men in? And he said, king, there's 4 men in there, and the last one looks like the Son of God. Interesting that they would even have an idea that there could be a Son of God when they looked in there, walking around. Now, I understand they were in the furnace. Didn't touch them, didn't hurt them, but they were in there walking around in the fire. They weren't in there for a flash fire and back out. I had somebody say, some young person say that to me. Wasn't it just like a flash fire, Pastor, or it just singed their head? I said, didn't do anything. It wasn't a flash fire. It was a burning hot furnace. They walked around in it. You might have a season. Now, I hate to tell you this, but I've lived it many times. You may have a walk around in the furnace season. What you choose to do in that furnace is going to set the stage of when and how you come out. What were they doing? Their bands were broken. It said, first of all, I think I know what happened. They had their hands up. They were like thanking God and dancing around that they were not incinerated. Why? They had something to be thankful for. Why? Their God delivered them from the fiery furnace, and when they came out, he delivered them into promotion. I want you to understand that there's a critical moment where you are walking around in a situation saying, God, I need to see your good in this. I want to see your good in this. And he's looking for you to not say that, but just to start giving him thanks and worship. Well, he's got you. Otherwise, you couldn't be enduring in that situation. Some of you are in a workplace like that. Some of you are in a school situation like that. Some of you have social situations like that. That's normal. It's normal to have the challenges like that. It doesn't make you less a Christian. It's literally testing your witness for Christ. And whenever we pass a test with God, he doesn't give us a little P on the report card. He gives us a promotion. He doesn't say pass. Why? He's in it to bless you. You need to be in it to win it. He's in it to bless you. That has to be our heart's attitude. I want to wrap this up with a couple New Testament verses. Because sometimes God delivers you from the fire. I won't say that it doesn't happen. I've had a few things that I could call narrow escapes, where I could see the furnace was open to eat me, and somehow, miraculously, the furnace door slammed and I didn't get in it. It's like, ooh, I'm so glad I didn't have to do that one. But I would say more often than not, I'm going to say this to you. If you're going to be a Christian leader, you're going to experience going through some fire. It's what makes a leader. Being delivered from the fire doesn't make us a leader, but being delivered through most certainly does. Why? When you've been through it, you can help anybody else through it, and they will hear you because you didn't get incinerated. That's why I shared the little personal story. That's why I'm saying some of the things that I am today, because I'm telling you, when you come through, the excellent spirit in you will begin to speak out again. And you'll come into what happened to Daniel's. He came into a ruling and reigning situation. If you're praying to dominate your field, or you're praying for promotion, or you are asking God to make a way out of the wilderness for your family, you are asking for the situation where you can be at home more with your kids and be more participatory in ministry, thank you for wanting good things for your family and for the ministry. But be prepared for what leads to good things. You're going to go through something. You're going to have a little walk around season. When it happens to you, you'll know it. And you'll need to focus on what's going on right there in the furnace. Why? He had other men with him. I believe Daniel carried the weight of it. If Daniel had told the other boys, let's just give up our praying for a day, I think they would have listened. Why? He had become the authority over them in the natural, and he also was spiritually. But instead he said, we're going to do like we've always done and honor God. He carried a responsibility that you and I carry when we lead that way, is to stand with the other believers who are trying and help bring them through whatever fire they're in. Did you know you have that impact on other people? You may not see yourself that way, but I'm going to tell you, the Spirit of the living God is in you now, and you are that influential. And you might say, if they only knew how I think I could be turned into crispy right now. They don't need to know that. You need to take hold of your faith and say, God, our God will deliver us. And even if he didn't, how bad could it be to go to heaven? And a lot of times people go, what? What? But that's what he said here. 1 Peter 2:20 says, and when we do well and suffer for it, we take it patiently because this is acceptable with God. In other words, our patience has to stay intact. Verse 14, chapter 3, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, doing right, happy are you. And be not afraid of terror, neither be troubled. He's talking about situations like this that we're talking about. For it is better, verse 17, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. So look at, why is this happening to me? And if it's because you took a stand for good, that's a good thing. Why? God's going to deliver. 1 Peter 5:10, same epistle. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by the anointed Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, he will make you perfect, he will establish you, he will strengthen you, and he will settle you. That's the anointing on this service. Those words, I'm going to say it again. Make you perfect, what does that mean? Mature as a Christian. Establish, what does that mean? Able to serve the kingdom of God and make your way well in the world. Not to struggle. This message isn't about struggling in the world system. It's about dominating in the world system, because you dominate with God first. When we dominate with God, we get over there his way, and we don't have to pay an ugly price for it. He will strengthen, and he will settle you. Now, I'm going to do today differently. I'm just going to say, if this touched you and you are in or foresee a fiery situation, I'm going to pray for God's delivering power to come all over you. Now, I'm not going to limit this prayer to, you have to go through the fire. I'd like to think nobody has to. But I know by the Spirit of the living God, that's not true. Sometimes I believe the greatest promotion God has the fire, and that's where we make an exit and back down. So I want to pray for you to be strengthened. Today's a day about strengthening families. I think particularly of anybody leading a family and you're a breadwinner. I pray for God to help you. I pray for you to be able to overcome what's going on in the world against your Christian witness. I pray that you have the strength and ability when you get home to bring a good word home, to bring the love of God home, to not be stressed out of your gourd, to not be expired and all your energy gone. I pray that God promotes you in a way that you can do family extraordinarily well, but not at the price of doing the kingdom of God extraordinarily well. They're meant to go together. They're meant to be the same spirit and same anointing. But you might have a little season. I'm going to tell you something about the remainder of the year. There's some fire in it. I would prepare and just become a worshiper of God more than you have. I love what's happening in our altar, that people just keep coming. Why? That's just an evidence of a heart worship. It's an evidence of surrender. So, Pastor, I do it in my seat. Well, maybe you do. I don't care. But just do it. Just surrender to Him in a new way. Why? We are in this world, but we are not to be of it. We are to have a separate, higher value system that still honors and loves people, who still respects authority, who doesn't walk in rebellion, who's able to navigate in a way that when anybody looks at us, they should be able to say there's something about them extraordinary, and we know what it is. The excellence of the Spirit of God living inside of us. If you'll stand to your feet, I want to pray for you right where you stand. I have a particular yearning in my heart today to impart faith for those that want change in your life, for things to get better, and understand what promotion from God looks like. He will always do the same things. You will deal with the fire, probably go through it. He will better your family and personal situation. You will find promotion in it, but He will do that to set you up to be more involved in building the kingdom of God, because your eternal reward has more to do with building the kingdom than it does anything in this earth. So God is always out to bless you in both places. I want you to understand that. He's out to bless your family and your life and your workplace, but He's also out to bless His kingdom through you, because you're the workers in the vineyard. You're the workers in the harvest. You're the helpers in the house. You're the one called alongside in the body of Christ to help, because the Spirit of God is in you. Heavenly Father, this morning I pray for a willing and ready congregation. Father, I'm so glad I can come in this house and teach openly the things that Your Word proclaims. Father, I thank You for giving every person a way to apply this to life, not by force, not out of fear, but Father, out of a love for You, that we look at how can I apply this to my life, because Father, You'll make things better. You'll make life better. You will add blessing, but there won't be sorrow with it. Father, You want to make Yourself known in a way that we walk in Your love all the time. Father, help us, empower us to be Your witnesses in this way, not a rebellious house, but a loving house. Not cantankerous people, but people looking to solve problems. Father, help us to recognize the door to promotion is a door that You beckon us through, but there's always a chance of risk, a feeling of risk, because we live by faith. Father, I thank You that our faith has the ability to overcome every circumstance and every resistance. Father, for families with children, I pray for the families with children. I pray for the schools, Father. I pray for the teachers and the administrators. Father, I pray for our whole education arena. Father, we need an education. We value education. Father, we know that we must needs have all of that information. But Father, we need to receive what is good and reject what is anti-God. Help us know the difference. Help us recognize the difference, but love and preserve the people as we go, that we're truly Your witnesses, called apart from the world, but called into the world to win the people of the world, because we've been called apart. Father, help us preserve our witness in that we are different, but reach into the hearts of men to show them that you love them. Father, thank you for that anointing on this body, that truth that sets us free, that ability that helps the single parents today to supernaturally do the double duty. Heavenly Father, I ask for your mercy on every family to make shifts and change and direction, that this be the best year they've seen. Father, it's early in the calendar of God for change. Help us navigate change with the help of your Holy Spirit and not make a misstep in any way. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to say this before you go. We love you. We're not endorsing rebellion or difficulty in the workplace. You should be the most admired and loved person there, not just for your witness for Christ, that'll come. You should be the best problem solver, the most faithful, the most loyal, the most committed person that they've ever seen walk through the door. Then you become Jesus' witness. So as you go, be empowered. We love you. We're proud of you. God bless you.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of His love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962, or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.